There are many roads you can travel in Sonoma County, each spectacular in its own way. Whether you explore the Redwood Forest, the Russian River, the rugged coastline, picturesque valleys, or charming downtowns, Sonoma County will wow you with its bounty of beauty and incredible experiences. But above all, the wine roads of Sonoma County have created a culinary culture that draws people from around the world to sip and savor. No one knows the inside tracks, the back roads, and the best bets of Northern Sonoma County better than our guests today, Marcy Gordon and Beth Costa. Together, they uncork the richness of the area in their podcast, The Wine Road. And we're delighted to be chatting with a fellow podcasting duo today. We are the two Marys who like to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm Mary Babbitt.
I'm Mary Orlin. Marcy and Beth are podcast pros. They've done more than 180 episodes, and we are in awe. And Marcy and Beth recently hosted us on their podcast, The Wine Road, and we encourage you to go to their website and take a listen to our interview. We had so much fun, and you know, it's really great. We are all women in the podcasting space, in the wine space, and it's great to support one another. And so we're excited to have them on our podcast today. Beth and Marcy have been doing this since about 2016, but before that they had different roads leading them together. Marcy is a freelance wine writer, travel writer. She always has pen to paper. She's also the founder of executive director of Writing Between the Vines, a retreat for wine writers. And she writes for her blog, Come for the Wine. She also writes for the Wine Road website, and she travels all over the world. Beth, when she first moved to Sonoma County about 30 years ago, knew nothing about wine, but she was a fast learner, had a lot of great experiences working in tasting rooms with Kendall Jackson, and she's been the executive director of The Wine Road for about 20 years now. The Wine Road is a fantastic organization. They host events, the Winter Wine Road, some other things that I over the years have been happy to participate in. And the Wine Road also is a destination for you, for anyone who's planning to visit Sonoma County, whether you live there or live far away, to help you put together your perfect itinerary for a trip to the three valleys of Northern Sonoma County, and that's the Russian River Valley, Dry Creek Valley, and Alexander Valley. We couldn't be more thrilled to have the gals on today to give you the insider tips that you're looking for. So Marcy and Beth, welcome to Sip Sip Hooray.
Thank you.
That was quite the intro.
I know. It's like listening to that intro, I'm like, wow. We've
done so
something.
Beautiful here.
a little something.
Do all our intros.
I was thinking. But we should record this. And, oh, we are.
You guys are very impressive, each in your own way. And as Mary said, you took different roads to where you are today. So I don't know who wants to start, but you want to give us a little bit about your background and then how you guys ended up together?
Well, I'm going to start. This is Beth. And
Hi, Beth.
I started in the wine business, like you'd mentioned, at Kendall Jackson. And when I started, I really didn't know anything about wine. I moved to Sonoma County. I had a retail background, and Kendall Jackson at that time was, you know, kind of starting out. They had a small tasting room, one small tasting room in Healdsburg. So I was hired, you know, to work from them, and it really is a fantastic company. And I was there when there was so much growth happening. And the advantage of working there is that they really could train everyone, because they had, you know, staff that weren't just did wine education. So as employees, we were able to do lots of great vineyard tours. We did lots of winery tours. We did sensory tastings and blind tastings. So someone really just wanting to learn about wine and getting into the wine business, it was really, you know, it was key. I went from saying I know nothing about wine to being a director of a winery association. And during that path, that's when Twitter was kind of when Twitter started. I started following wine writers as part of my job. and I started following Marcy Gordon. And I thought, oh my gosh, I loved this woman. She could, in Twitter, you know, there was 100 characters or 120 characters to begin with. And she could sort of tell a whole story or feeling in those 120 characters. And I thought, I could never do that. You're trying to abbreviate words and leave out the punctuation. And by the time I was done writing something, it was just stupid. But Marcy's was always right on the money. And so I went to this big wine tourism conference, and Marcy happened to be one of the speakers. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love this woman. And the next morning, I was in the lobby of the hotel waiting for day two of the conference, and she came and sat across the aisle from me. And so I introduced myself. We started chatting. And from there, you know, months later, she ended up connecting with me about a project that she was starting. And we worked together just on a couple of business projects, but we have ultimately really become friends. And we have such an opposite background, and our lives are so different, but we have a million things in common. It surprises me constantly how much we have in common, because like, she's just a world traveler, and yeah, just, she's out of my league. It's like I friendshiped up. And it's so fun to be with her. And the podcast started from Marcy coming into the office one day, and the Wine Road produces a really great map. At one point, we distribute about 400,000 maps a year.
Wow.
She walks in the office and she goes, you know what you need? You need to bring this map to life. Somehow we need people to know what is on this map, what all this information is. You need a podcast. And I thought, well, I don't even know what a podcast is. But I'm like, I'm game if you're willing to, you know, help, and you're going to make it happen. So she did, you know, in basic, these days, the way you research things, she YouTubed how to start a podcast, what equipment you need. She bought all the stuff. She was doing the editing to begin with on her laptop. I mean, the first few podcasts are sketchy. We'd record in the warehouse. You'd hear if my little dog's little feet would walk across the cement floor. And so then eventually we connected with Richard here at Threshold Studios. So we have like this really professional sounding podcast now. But so that's how I came to be on the Wine Road, and how I got to connect with Marcy.
Great, Marcy.
Oh my gosh. I feel so humbled. Oh my gosh. So my road to the Wine Road is a little bit circuitous. I was in high tech. I launched Travelocity and OpenTable, and just, I'm one of those people who always looks for the next wave, where I can roll my skills over and what I can do. And we moved, my husband and I had moved here to wine country. And previously I'd worked in Italy, and I wrote all the Italian guidebooks for the Touring Club of Italy. And I started—
Wait, what?
I know.
Speak Italian? Yeah. And write in Italian? Is that
I wrote the English language books.
Oh,
so okay. I started a series for the American market, and I did those books. And that's where I really became acquainted with wine, is in Italy.
Wow.
And,
oh, cool.
When we moved back here, you know, my tech was a little bit, you know, more disruptive. It was after the big .com first fail. That's when I got involved in writing, and how I ended up in Italy writing these books. But when we came back to this country, we moved to wine country. And I remember looking out the window and thinking, I could see vineyards. And I'm like, I could do something with this. I could roll my skills over. And the beautiful thing about being in writing or marketing is, you know, you have skills that can be used in a lot of different things. And I remember meeting Beth and thinking, wow, there's like, it just seemed like an instant kind of connection. And I did came into Wine Road and said, hey, we should do a podcast. I felt like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney <Richard. laughs> thinking it was going to be so simple, but I really, yeah, over my head. So many times we'd do these shows and I would forget to press record or something. Mm-hmm. And it would just be a nightmare. But we slowly got it together, and I'm so fortunate and lucky now that we're here in, you know, a studio. But, you know, so I also do wine writing. Like I said, I was a fellow at the Wine Writer Symposium, and I've actually been on a few press trips with Mary. I don't know if she remembers, but
I do remember.
And so it's a great combination of what I can do, my skill set, and just being working on the Wine Road with Beth is great. And as much as Beth thinks she, you know, friended up. I feel so fortunate because Beth's like someone is like the can do. There's nothing she can't do. And she has the can do spirit when I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back to bed. I'm not even going to do this.
But I just do it. I blindly go where I shouldn't.
She just like soldiers on. And it gives me hope because I'm the kind of person like I'm always calculating, is it worth it? Should I do it? And she just does it. She makes it happen. And I so admire that can do spirit. I mean, what she's done on the wine road is pretty phenomenal, how she's harnessed the energy and how she brings this destination to life for millions of people who want to come here through the programs and also through our podcast. So I'm as in awe, Bethy Beth.
Well, Marcy, you are so right about that. I've been listening to several of your podcast episodes and, you know, you usually end with Beth going over everything that the wine road is doing. And I'm like, oh my God, there's all these events. How do you do that? And the podcast and everything right. else. So Beth, tell us a little bit about the wine road, not the podcast part, but your organization.
Yeah, the podcast is called The Wine Road, but it's a piece of or under the umbrella of the larger wine road. Yes.
Right. So the wine road actually started nearly 50 years ago, and there were about 9 wineries in Sonoma County. And it was prior to, there were no AVAs at the time. So it really was some wineries that were along the Russian River. And they formed an organization. They decided that if they kind of worked together and to talk to the hotel people and have them get their guests to come out to the wineries, you know, there would be a little strength in numbers if there was 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 wineries all doing this. So they printed a little map, you know, your 8.5 by 11 hand-drawn map. It was really cute. And started handing that out to lodgings, and they called themselves the Russian River Wine Road. And they started barrel tasting. It's been 46 years that they did barrel tasting. They thought if they got customers to come into the cellar and learn about winemaking and learn about the influence of oak on wine, that customers might find that interesting. So we did, in 2016, we did a documentary about the organization. It was our 40th anniversary. And Dave Raffinelli talked about how that first year of barrel tasting, if you got somebody to come to your winery, you just kept them in the cellar and you just kept talking because you may not see anybody else the rest of the day.
Got a captive audience.
Got a captive, hold on to them. So it's grown and grown and grown. I mean, we've had, you know, thousands of people that come to barrel tasting. People come at this point from all over the country year after year for barrel tasting and, you know, talk to the winemakers and buy futures on wine. So, The Wine Road produces 3 big annual events every year. We have barrel tasting in March, winter wineland in January, and the wine and food affair in November. And then we have smaller events throughout the year. We have a great website, wineroad.com. And the point there is really to help visitors from all over the country or the world, for that matter, who want to come to Sonoma County and go wine tasting. There's links to the wineries, links to lodgings. We have tasting tips. We have itineraries, suggested itineraries, if you're not really sure, if you're overwhelmed, printable maps. We still produce the big fold-out map, a couple hundred thousand a year that we distribute, so we can mail people a map to help them plan their trip. We have a consumer club called The Insider. So for $100 a year, people can become an insider. They would get a discount on the big events. They get 2-for-1 tastings at wineries. And I think, particularly these last few years, a real benefit of our website is that we've just kept visitors up to date on what's happening. When tasting rooms were all closed during COVID, we had a list when people started to reopen, who was open and what their hours were. When wineries reopened, everyone was reservation only. That was sort of almost a requirement. Well, now that's changed. There's wineries that certainly welcome walk-in tasters. So there's a list on the homepage of the 60 wineries that you don't need a reservation. Just walk in and go tasting. We have a list for wineries that can handle groups of 10 or 20 or 30 because, you know, a lot of people want to get together for their family reunion or for their, you know, their anniversary party. Yeah. Maybe they have 20 guests, but every winery can't do that. But we have a list of the wineries that can manage that. So there's so much information on our website. So that's what the Wine Road is. You know, wineries pay an annual assessment to be a part of this group. And with that, we help, you know, market the area.
That is such an incredible resource. And I think really a unique resource that you don't always find in other wine regional associations. So I think this is really tremendous. And
yeah, it makes it easy for the consumer.
Well, you know, the thing is, I feel like that's something I fight to really hold on to, that feeling of people can reach out and connect with us. I have been there for over 20 years. I have people that have been calling for 20 years, and then like they call and they talk to Beth, like they know me, and we maybe just talk once or twice a year about what's happening with new events or what new wineries have just opened, or, you know, they're coming out again. They haven't been here for 4 or 5 years. You know, where do I recommend they go? And mm-hmm. so you know, we really try to have that personal connection with customers.
And what Beth doesn't mention is she does all this with truly a skeleton staff.
I was going to ask, how many people are working with you?
Right now, I have Debbie is our event manager, and she's back to being full time. And then we've just hired Liana, who's amazing, and she's doing a lot of the admin work, and she's helping, you know, like schedule the podcast, schedule guests, and she's, you know, answering the phone and getting back to customers with, you know, when they need sort of a concierge help. So yeah, we have a lot of balls in the air. We're lean and mean.
Lean and mean and super.
I love it.
It's fun. It's a fun, just the whole idea is great. I am still in awe when I can sit around and, you know, host or moderate a seminar with 4 winemakers. And, you know, I've known mm-hmm. some of these people for years and years and years, but it's still, to me, it's cool. I mean, that's what they do for a living. They make wine. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm. They're your rock stars.
Yeah,
they are.
They are. They definitely are. And you know, in Sonoma County, they're definitely really farmers at heart, and agriculture is so important. And the sustainability of the region is important. And that really comes through when you get to meet the people that make the wine. It's fun.
I read that you guys are known as the click and clack of wine, you know, the reference to the famous and lovable PBS car guys.
That is true.
But that I like that because it speaks to your relatability. You guys, they were both funny and knowledgeable. So they could tell you what was going on with your car, but they'd make you laugh along the way and make you feel right. good about having asked the question. So I love that that's how you guys are seen. And I'm sure that's intentional. Yes. Meaning that you want to be relatable, because you sure are.
I think so. Definitely. I think so. And I also think it is frustrating when people approach wine as if it is, you have to know so much about it ahead of time. I went wine tasting with my son a few years ago, and actually we went to a winery who also makes cider, because at the time my son was the production manager of a cider house. And so he tasted through the ciders with this winemaker, and then the winemaker said, "Oh, Dustin, I want you to try some of these wines that I have." And Dustin said, "Well, I don't really know anything about wine. You know, I don't think we need to do that." And Derek says, "Well, you don't need to know anything about wine. I mean, you're going to try it. You like it or you don't." And I thought that was so great for him to hear from a winemaker, that's really what it boils down to.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wish, you know, the wine industry had in some ways done itself a big disservice. Mary B and I talk about this all the time, that they've made it so intimidating for people. And, you know, it's just really comes down to what you like. And if you want to have Cabernet with oysters, nothing wrong with that, right?
Right. It's not a perfect pairing.
It's not a perfect pairing.
For me, I don't like the oysters.
Yes, I know. You would rather have bubbly with those oysters.
I'd always rather have bubbly, but yeah, oysters. You're like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. So Beth, is it true that you have a license plate that says "Got Bubbly"?
Yeah, it said "Got Bubbles."
Nice.
And then "Get out of the way," it says in the front.
So Marcy, what keeps it fresh for you guys? What keeps, you know, you focus on Sonoma County, particularly Northern Sonoma County. What keeps the podcast and the stories you're telling fresh for you guys?
Well, we focus on Northern Sonoma County because that's the kind of the boundaries for what the wine road represents. So that's what we're serving, the wineries and lodgings and what happens in Northern Sonoma. It's such a big area, so we needed to focus, and we focus on what the wine road focus is. And I don't know, I think Beth and I just bring ourselves to the table every time, and we often crack each other up so much. You know, our outtake reel could, you know,
put me in jail,
be on a TV show. Oh, no. We just have we take the hoity out of the toity. We don't try to be super snobby or anything. I mean, we can't be. We're just ourselves. I think I maybe could be more of a snob than you, but just bring ourselves to the table with our guest, and it just somehow unfolds. I don't even know what. I don't try to dissect our secret sauce too much, lest we dice it. I just don't even know why it works so well, but it does.
And there's always new things happening.
Yes, there's always something
so
new.
So, like, we always try to bring in new winemakers. And so oftentimes there are people that I haven't really met yet. You know, it's a new winery member for the Wine Road, and maybe I haven't met them. And so that makes it fresh also, you know.
And it makes it easy because Sonoma, there's so much going on here, especially this region with restaurants. And I mean, we just have such an abundance. We have the natural beauty. We have the food scene, the wine scene, activities, you know, hiking and biking and you name it. So it's really, this region makes it easy. It makes it easy for us to have.
So diverse, like you said, we have the Michelin rated restaurants, but you know, oftentimes you have winemakers on here talking about the taco truck is their favorite place. And so
that's usually true.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that the Wine Road podcast isn't just about wine, that you also have chefs and other folks on talking about what they're doing. One of my favorite episodes that I listened to is the interview you did with Dustin Villette of the Villette restaurant, and also
wants to be a podcaster, I think.
That's what y'all said, and he does have a voice for podcasts.
Yes, he does. That was a fun episode. He was so funny.
But so you interview other folks who are involved, whether it's in restaurants or artisan food production, or so it really gives people a taste of Sonoma beyond the wine.
One of my favorite shows, and unfortunately, I cannot think of this person's name, but he's the music director for the Transcendence Theater.
Oh my God, that's what I was just looking up. That's exactly was my favorite show. I can't believe you're saying this.
Yeah, so he was.
That's great.
I mean, we're inside the small little recording studio, just the three of us. And when the show ended, he sang a song for us.
He broke out into song, and it was just amazing.
Oh my gosh, like I almost cried. His voice was incredible in the small little room, and it was. It was a song where he changed the words to relate to the wine road and the wineries and what we do. Oh my God.
This is proof of our rapport.
It was amazing.
When you said, like, what was the most, you know, you said, think about what the most memorable show is. So I was here on my phone because I couldn't remember his name either. And I'm looking up staff, Transcendence. And then you said that. That's too funny.
It was so.
I love that.
Oh my God. I just couldn't
click
believe
and
it.
Clack, clacking again. We haven't even had any wine today. How does
I know.
It Yeah. We're sharing one brain, and that is a dangerous thing.
Well, I hope you guys have prepared a song for the end of our podcast.
You wouldn't want us singing.
Maybe it could be to the theme of Barbie. It's so much.
Oh, I know.
In our one.
Yeah. For people who don't know Sonoma County well, would you guys have a perfect day that you would describe for them, or something, or maybe something off the beaten track that people don't know of? I'm assuming a lot of people go to downtown Sonoma and think this is Sonoma, right? And of course, it's spectacular, but there's so much more. How do you direct people? And what would you guys say with your experience now, having talked to so many winemakers and been so many places? What do you think are some of the secret gems or some of the best places?
You know, that there's about 100 different answers for that. One thing that we talk about when we have people that call the office and want some itinerary help, you know, I always ask if there's one winery that's like on their bucket list. They're coming to Sonoma County because they just have to see, you know, whatever it is, Hartford Family Wines. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest you then make a reservation to for sure get into that winery, and then really just go to the wineries that are in that same area, because it is a big area. The wine road is 30 square miles. So if you start driving all over the place, you're not going to have a great experience. But if you pick the one winery you for sure want to see and then go to those neighbors, you're still going to end up seeing a winery that is, you know, maybe in a barn, and one that is more of a chateau, and one that is at someone's home. I mean, that they're so diverse, even within a close region, that you could get a really nice, you know, variety of experiences. I think it's nice to do one cave tour. If you haven't been into a wine cave, it's great to sit outside and do a food pairing. It's fun to find a winery with a garden. So you want a day with a lot of different things. What do you think, Mars?
Well, I think one of the things we personally do, like often after show, it's not so secret, but we go out to Spud Point and we go to Little Crab Shack at Spud Point. We get our crab sandwich and we go up to Bodega Head and have this world-class view. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just amazing. And that's where we live. And it's like, you know, 15, 20 minutes from here, just be able to be in nature. To what I think my perfect day is to do something that's either the redwoods or the ocean. And one of our great little restaurants, it doesn't have to be super fancy, and maybe could do a tasting with a nice garden. But we often do that. We just go right out after our show sometimes and go out to Spud Point. And it's,
you're not supposed to say that because I'm supposed to go back to work.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds so good.
I'm recording for hours and hours.
But it's research, Beth. It's research.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to go to Spud Point with you guys. I've never heard of that crab shack.
Oh my God. It's the best.
It is.
And you go through the little town of Bodega, and just the drive is beautiful. And, you know, it's where the birds, the Alfred Hitchcock movie film. So there's all these little highlights, and we live in a pretty great place. Just for everything is here.
I also like, if you're not, you know, gonna necessarily stop someplace, but you just want a beautiful scenic drive, I would like to start in Healdsburg, where it's, you know, a cute little quaint town, and take West Side Road, which the road just sort of meanders kind of curvy through just vineyards. It's just beautiful vineyards all the way through. And then you end up on River Road and you head out towards the coast. And when you get to River Road, you're really surrounded by redwoods. And so you've gone from vineyards to redwoods. And then when you come out of the redwoods by Duncan's Mills, then it's sort of pasture land, and there's going to be sheep grazing on the hillsides and some cows over here. And then you just pass that and you're at the coast, and it's, I mean, you are literally at the ocean, and you can drive down the coast going south a little ways, and then you can come back through the town of Bodega, like you said, and then through Sebastopol and back home. So you can make a loop without repeating. But it's beautiful to see in that short amount of time how you can go from vineyards to redwoods to pastures to the ocean in, you know, just a couple hours.
I'm just sitting here at my desk picturing all that, and I've been there, but when you use the way you say it, it just sounds, I want to be there now, you know, telling them, take me away.
So my son, years ago, I have son, he had a tour, wine touring business here in Sonoma County, and he had itineraries, rides, if people wanted scenic drives, and I lined that out for him, that drive, and I think he called it mom's favorite. And of course, everybody wanted mom's favorite.
Of course.
And he's like, oh my God, I've made so many points for him. Like, everybody loved that drive because the diversity is just of landscape is beautiful. And then, you know, the little town of, when you get into Sebastopol, you want to stop at Screamin' Mimi's and get ice cream.
Ooh. You know?
You'd be a fool to not stop there.
Okay.
You have to.
Yeah.
So Beth and Marcy, how has Sonoma changed? How has the wine scene changed since you all started doing your thing in Sonoma?
I think it's just more is more, it feels like. There's so much more options, so many more choices, so many more ways you can experience the wine route. It's not just the standard, I go in, I taste, and I leave. There's just the experiences, the types of, like, Beth said, it could be a garden, it could be a cave, it could be, there's something for everybody in terms of an experience of wine. And I see that, and also the food scene. The food scene has just become world class. I think it's always been that way because our abundance of produce and everything that's grown here. But now, really, we have Michelin starred restaurants, and then we have food truck scene here is just phenomenal. It's something that you don't really expect, is because people are coming, very talented chefs, and doing the food truck scene for overhead reasons. And, you know, so you have all these amazing options for food for an array of budgets. So I think that's one thing for me, and I haven't been here as long as Beth, but just that the options are infinite.
Yeah, I think the options are definitely infinite. I mean, when I started the Wine Road, I think we had 65 wineries or so that were members. And I mean, we grew to about 170 wineries. So there's definitely, more, like you said, more is more. And more really has just brought the variety. I mean, it was just a lot of really small winery taste rooms, and now there's definitely, you know, more options with bigger gardens and, you know, more chateaus and more things. But it's still very much I still see Sonoma County as just so ag-based. Agriculture, it really is it. And I have we have a really great blog. I work with Rebecca Jamalis to write our blog for the Wine Road every month. It's called Along the Wine Road. And she did a great series, I think it was a three-part series on multi-generational winery families along the wine road. And my gosh, she found great historic photos. And like the Pedroncellis, they're pretty close to 100 years. And there's a lot of third and fourth generation families that are along the wine road. And to me, that's super cool if you can walk into one of those wineries and meet, part of the family. So,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah, that history is so cool. And as you said, the farming keeps it so down to earth, and it's a low-key wine country in that it's got such a cool vibe to it. And you can wear jeans or whatever, cutoffs, nobody cares. It's so cool that way. But, speaking of blogs, Marcy, you also have a blog, Come for the Wine. I want to promote that as well.
Oh,
And
thank you.
one of the things I read that I love that you said that wine is the very essence of place. It is truly travel in a bottle. And I thought, oh, that's so good because it does take you. It's, one of those rare things that a glass of wine can be so transformational in that it takes you someplace different. You get that terroir, you get that magical experience.
Yes, and it is travel in a bottle. And especially if you go to a region and you bring that bottle home, you're bringing that memory, you're bringing all that sense of place. And I really do think wine is travel in a bottle. It's what I love about wine because there's so many aspects to it. And as a writer, it's not just, just tasting notes. It's there's a feeling and there's a sense of place and that place that you can inhabit as well. And that's what I love about wine.
So tell us
Absolutely.
about the blog, the Come for the Wine.
Oh, my little blog.
Yeah.
I really started that. So when I was telling you earlier, when we moved to Sonoma, when we moved to Sebastopol and I looked out my window and saw vineyards and I said, I could do something. And I said, I should, and blogging was really in its infancy. And I thought, well, maybe I'll start a wine blog just to start putting down my thoughts. I wanted to explore the region and then we'd go out wine tasting on Tuesdays. It was wine tasting Tuesday. It wasn't wine Wednesday. I must have missed the mark for
You
that.
were ahead of
And I
yourself.
would just put my own. It was really a way of me promoting myself and Lost Leader in my writing. And sure enough, it did lead to work. It did lead to jobs. So blogging was very instrumental in me getting a foothold and getting some traction in the wine industry because I did come from travel. I did come from high tech and marketing, but it was a great little showcase. And then I just started pitching articles but it's a nice little, almost like a resume piece. And I was very active blogging and I used to go on so many trips. I mean, that blog in got me invited to Croatia, not once, not twice, but three times, and focusing on just places people weren't talking about so much. And I
And you
think,
love Croatia.
yes, I do. It's just a really special region and I love the wine there. But what happened is then wine blogging kind of became seen as, it was like very divisive. People were, oh, you're a blogger, so I would never tell anyone I was a blogger. Then it had like its heyday, and then it kind of collapsed. But and I'm making a prediction: blogging has come back. I think
I have heard
blogging is
that.
so important because what has happened? There's been a collapse in publishing, collapse in the outlets and the places that you can reach people if you're writing, and if you're a freelancer, it's very hard to place your work. And so I think blogging has become more important than ever. And I do applaud people who have a blog because you don't know, there's no immediate payoff. You're not necessarily getting paid for that blog. But I think it's an important thing to do because it's good to have many voices in wine and many perspectives. And we're seeing that more now, more people. And that's the low barrier to entry. Blogging is really important because it gives everybody a voice.
It does. And you could say that about podcasting too. I mean, we certainly started our podcast on a very shoestring budget. Well, we still have a shoestring budget.
Hey, and
I'm not
now the
gonna,
shoestring
I'm
is
not kidding.
deeply frayed.
But I'm really curious. So, Marcy, you said you learned podcasting watching YouTube videos, but once you guys actually started broadcasting, what lessons did you learn? What advice would you give to somebody who's out there saying, hey, I want to start a wine podcast? I mean, I might tell people, are you kidding? Don't even do
Yeah.
it. But I'm curious what you've learned and how, you know, like you were saying, your first couple episodes were like not so great. I'm sure I would cringe if I heard our first couple of episodes too. So how do you improve and how do you get to where you are today?
I think one thing that's been successful for us is a format. We have a basic format and we stick to it. And we have, you know, our different guests slot into it, but we have the wine of the day. We have, it's not canned so much, but it's very much, we know the elements that go together and that our audience likes. And like we used to have a segment and we stopped doing it and people would say, what happened to that? Right. Because people like predictability, or they like to know what's, you know, what they're going to get. And so I think we do present a show that they know what they're going to get and they're always going to get something different, but they know the format and how it's going to unfold. And I think that's comfortable to people and they like that. It's funny because right out of the gate, we had an audience built in because of the Wine Road. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped. I think when people say, I want to start a podcast, I'm think carefully about your niche. Think carefully about how you slot in and who your audience is going to be and how you're going to reach that audience. The leg up for us was Beth already had a built-in Wine Road audience with a $80,000 people mailing list.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, that's how we've reached the audience rather quickly and promoting, can keep promoting it and re-promoting it through the umbrella of the Wine Road itself. So it's important. I don't ever tell anyone, don't, you know, do it, but think carefully of what you want to achieve. Because it's not free. It's your time, it's your energy, and you have to know what you're focusing that into and what you're going to get out of it. And think about what you want as much as what you want to provide for your listeners.
And I think we've also been consistent. I mean, from right out of the gate, we post every other Thursday.
Yes, super consistent.
And so it's not like we kind of do it, then we don't do it, then we do it for a couple of weeks. It's consistently every other Thursday. And what you said, what is your goal, I think is important, because we actually were speakers years ago at this podcast movement, and everyone there seemed to be wanting to, you know, monetize a podcast somehow. And that's not important for me in this position at the Wine Road. I'm not trying to make money on the podcast. We clearly don't make money on the podcast. We just want to be informative for people who want to come to Sonoma County. We want to paint a picture that incentivizes visitors to come here. And so I also don't need to grow so that I have, you know, 400,000 listeners, because they're probably not all going to come. I'd rather have, you know, 40,000 listeners who are really planning a trip to Sonoma County. So, you know, everyone has a different purpose for what they, or they should have a purpose for a podcast.
Engage
if they're going to start
listeners,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I do think we often ask people to go ahead and write me, you know, it's, you know, info@Wine Road or Beth@Wine Road. And what do you want to hear? You know, when we usually have a book of the day, not always, but we've had people who said, oh, I ordered the book. I loved it. It was great. We've had little wine gadgets of the week, people like that. So, yeah, we've just tried to be consistent.
Yeah, that's what's hard for people. I have so many friends who've asked me, okay, I'm starting a podcast. And my advice is always record 10 episodes before you ever launch, and give yourself a head start, because the first two, like, yeah, I'm really into this. And by the fourth one, you're like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Because it's so much work to be consistent. And I think that is very hard to consistently post. And I sometimes can't believe how we've achieved that, but you see a lot of people's podcasts and all of a sudden after the seventh or eighth episode, they never post again.
It's like burnout.
Yeah.
Well, but like you said before, all the time, I mean, you do want to know something about your guests before they have them on. So it takes time to research that. Yeah. And then you have to edit things.
Right.
And,
it takes a lot of time and
do some show notes.
But yeah. I think that's one thing we recommended when we spoke at that conference was do yourself a favor and get some shows under your belt and then start posting so you're not behind the eight ball.
Right.
Because, yeah. Boy, it comes up quick.
Every other week
is so frequent.
Yeah.
I know.
Every other week it's frequent. Yes, it is. She's got away with words.
Bumper sticker that says that. and then have fun. If you're not having fun,
right,
I think it's hard to maintain.
But yeah, the wine
absolutely
helps.
We start it does with wine. Wine. Yeah.
Every show begins with wine. By the third show, we're like, whoa.
There's no FCC for podcasts, so we do what we want.
Wine always helps. Exactly. And I would be remiss in not pointing out that the Wine Road podcast has won 3 taste awards. In 2018, 2020, and 21. And in 2021, Wine Road Podcast was also inducted into the Taste Award Hall of Fame. Congratulations, ladies. Well done.
We still can't believe that. That just made it so much fun.
So the last Taste Award that we won was in 2020. And it was the award thing was like the week before everything shut down for COVID. And so Marcy was skeptical to get on a plane at that point. And I was still like, whatever, we'll be fine. So I flew to
pandemic schmandemic.
Yeah, like, that's not real. And so I was sitting there in the auditorium thinking the whole time, this is the dumbest thing I have ever done in my life.
Why am I so infected right now?
Blown myself down here. And then next thing you know, they announced that the Wine Road won. And I'm like, yes, I'm so glad I came.
Good reason to go. Yeah. Every time we've won, we've been just flabbergasted because there's been a stiff competition. But it's great. It's a great laurel because it's something you never expect. And then to have that, and I do have my little medals at home on my desk. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, yes, I'm somebody. Not really.
You know, it's truly, though, it's a testament to the quality of the podcast you guys are doing and the relationships you've built and the way you engage your listeners. I love your humility, but you guys earn those awards and I am excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Really well done. We need to give credit where credit's due, and that is Richard Ross.
I was just looking to say, we really have to give credit to Richard.
Here we are, Threshold Studios. I mean, he makes us sound incredible. Our podcast, I listen to it in my car a lot, and I'm like, dang, that sounds so good.
I always think, I can't believe we sound that good.
Because, you're a little removed
like
from
Richard,
it when you're
a miracle
in it.
Worker.
But to be able to have an engineer on your staff and to have a studio, it's just, it bumps you up so much. Yeah. We're so, so lucky. Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
I told you guys, we did the podcast with you guys. I don't know, a few weeks ago, I was in my car just trying to get a good connection.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, well, I need a Richard in my life.
Yeah, we're just super, super grateful. And I think that's has a lot to contribute to our success because it sounds good,
right?
And I think sometimes mm-hmm. people don't even listen to the content as much as it just sounds good. And mm-hmm. there's something to that, especially when you're working with a lot of different topics, because we've won in our category, but it's often competition from cooking shows because it's food and wine. Right. So there, it's not always, apples to apples.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. What's fun is a couple times this has happened, both Marcy and myself, we've both been out. Like Marcy was at a winery tasting and someone recognized her voice from the podcast.
Oh, that's
I was
great.
At a little restaurant a couple years ago, kind of laughing. We were outside at this patio lunch and a couple kept looking at me. I kept thinking, like, I really don't know those people. They keep staring at me. And then when they left, he goes, do you work for the Wine Road? Are you Beth?
And no way.
Recognize my voice. I'm like, oh my God, that is awesome.
Yeah, I just had that
celebrity.
A month ago, I was at Retrograde at the coffee shop and someone came up to me and I always get nervous. Someone, are you Marcy Gordon? Because I'm afraid they're going to serve
witness
me a summons
protection,
or
yeah.
something. You know, it's yeah. like, you're being sued.
Who wants to know?
Maybe.
Like, are you Marcy? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I love the podcasting because he was so complimentary. It was so sweet.
Aww.
And that's happened to me like 3 times.
Yeah.
Especially at events.
When you're at wine
because
events,
if yeah. Wine Road people come to the Wine Road events yeah. and they, it's just like, oh my gosh, my voice is out there.
I love it. I'm not just laugh, but
yeah,
I can't help
Same
it.
Same here.
Love it. Well, before we let you guys go, anything coming up on the horizon you're looking forward to that you want to tell us about?
I think I should mention we have a new event for the Wine Road that we're going to, we just had a summer wine trail and it was the first time we've ever done that. It was a 1-day event and it was really wildly successful. So we're going to do a fall wine trail. It's a great little event because tasting these days can be expensive. Tastings can be $30 or $40 a person at each winery. So this is $50 for the day. And every winery will pour 2 or 3 wines. So yeah,
that's a great deal.
A great deal.
Yeah.
September 23rd, winerode.com.
Okay.
And beyond September and into the holidays and 2024.
Yeah. Well, this is The wine trail, the fall wine trail is just that one day. Then we have in November, we have the wine and food affair. It's the 4th and 5th.
That's my favorite event. Yeah. Wine and food affair.
Is it the good one? Okay, great. Yeah, food events. Tell our listeners, if you would, how they can find you guys. Are you on just the Normals podcast platforms?
Yep, we're on all the platforms. And then you can go to wineroadpodcast.com, which is our website that lists all the episodes and has the show notes and the photos. That's the other thing when people say, I'm going to start a podcast, I'm like, are you going to do show notes? I often recommend don't do it because once you start, you can't stop. But it's a great resource. And because the episodes are evergreen, people can use the website to search topics. Like, I'm coming to Santa Rosa, I want to know about, you know, Guerneville. They can use it as a resource for planning their trip. And the podcast is kind of a tourism play because we are trying to reach out to people coming to visit and giving them all the options and things that they can do. So wineroadpodcast.com. It's also off the homepage of wineroad.com, the umbrella of Wineroad. And yeah, it's in all the places.
All the places. That's it.
And are you all on Instagram?
We are.
That's true. And again, it's just Wineroad Podcast on Instagram.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, we have had such a great time chatting with you all and laughing a lot. That's always a sign of a good episode. So thank you.
Thank you.
And in our show notes, we will list all the ways to contact you all. And also we'll link to the episode that we are in on your podcast. Yeah. So our listeners can find it easily.
That's Perfect. A good show. Yes, that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're so pleased that, like you said, it's great to support each other. It's great. Women in wine podcasting. What a small world that is.
Yeah. Let's go.
Stick together.
For sure.
That's right.
Thank you for having us.
You're so welcome. Marcy and Beth, this has been a true delight for me. And I'm so glad to get to know you guys and can't wait to come up to Spud Point.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we're always game for that.
A must.
Crab at Spud Point and then ice cream in Sebastopol at Screaming Mimi's.
Yes.
Yes. And then you'll be living your best lives.
Uh-huh. I love it. I can't wait.
Well, you two are completely charming and it's obvious why you've won 3 Taste Awards. So keep it up. And thanks again for joining us. Cheers to you guys and sip, sip, hooray.
Cheers to you. Thank you. Yes.
Sip, sip, hooray.
Well, that was really fun. And I loved what Marcy and Beth said about women supporting women, podcasters supporting one another. So what a treat to be able to have the Wine Road women on our podcast and to hear their stories and in some ways their struggles too. That was really fun. It made me feel like, oh, yay, we aren't the only ones with technical difficulties.
Right. No, they are certainly helping to pave the way for what we do and what other wine podcasters are doing. But what I really love is that they offer such a great resource for anybody who is going to Northern Sonoma County, whether it's their first time or their 10th time, because, you know, you and I have been there so many times, and to think that there are resources for us to find something new next time we go is kind of exciting.
Yeah, really cool. And it's a lot of work that they put into all of
Absolutely.
This. And we as wine drinkers, consumers, travelers all benefit from it. So do visit the Wine Road and check out all of the offerings. You'll find the podcast link on the Wine Road website, as Beth mentioned.
We will put all of this information on our show notes at our website, sipsipparaypodcast.com. And you can follow us on social media.
Sip Sip Hooray Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
And we are also on Substack at Sip Sip Hooray Podcast. And we'll put some more show notes there too. And we also like to add a few extras if you subscribe. That way you will get the extras. And also you'll get a notification every time we post a new episode. So you won't miss a thing.
All right, Mary Orland, that's going to do it for us. This was so fun, as always, and can't wait till we get together to drink and talk wine.
Yes, I'll see you along the wine road. Sip, sip, hooray.
Sip, sip, hooray.